Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning, BCV. It is so good to have you joining us for our online Sunday service. If you haven't met me before, my name is Johnny, and it's a privilege of mine to be able to come and share from the scriptures with you all this morning. We're going to be continuing in our new sermon series that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. We've began to shift gears a little as we've moved out of our series in Ephesians together, and now we're taking the summer weeks and months to explore the different areas over this last year and a half that have been shaken or taken away from us throughout the pandemic. And I know for some of us, as we hear that, we probably just want this last year and a half to almost be a distant past. We want it to just be a memory that we look back upon and that doesn't come in to our everyday conversation, never mind every thought that we have. But it would almost be disingenuous of us or remiss of us if we didn't just take this moment to acknowledge that things are different, that the world that we live in looks different than it did this time 2 years ago. The way that we think through situations has entirely changed. Our emotions and our thought patterns around our day-to-day, moment-by-moment life, from the simplest to the most complex tasks, has entirely changed. Or maybe that's just me. But really, it would be almost expected from this last year and a half that that would be the fact. But it's not to be dismissed. And so, some of the things that we're going to be talking about throughout this series are directly related to the pandemic, and others are just things that have been accelerated by the last 18 months. All of them are maybe things that weren't quite so obvious pre-pandemic, but over this last 18 months, the accelerator has just been pressed down upon them. But we are not just exploring the difficulties that the last 18 months has highlighted, we're exploring how for every one of these difficulties, these new wrestles in our faith, there is an opportunity for us to respond through the way of Jesus and the invitation of the Holy Spirit that will lead each of us in our community into a life that is characterized by peace, hope and rest, and ultimately life and life to the full. Last week we looked at how in a world of polarization, where almost all of our interactions are marked by polarization, the way of Jesus invites us to find the antidote for that by building connections and friendships in community. And this week we're going to be looking at how this last year and a half, this last 18 months, has completely upended the pillars upon which many of us had built our faith. For some of us, we'll feel this more acutely than others, but all of us, I guarantee, have felt this in some way. Because let's be real, right? In terms of pre versus post-pandemic faith life, things look a little bit, if not a lot, different than they used to. How have things changed, you might say? Well, for those of us that were with us in pre-pandemic times in Fleming Fulton, do you remember being able to come along on a Sunday and walk into that wonderfully luminescent gym space, maybe 30 minutes before the service even began, go grab a coffee and chat with some friends, and maybe if it's been a hard week, they'll pray with you and put a hand on your shoulder, speak some encouraging words over you, and you'd feel kind of lifted whilst you've got your SD Bell's coffee rising up through your nose? And then we'd be led in sung worship without a single thought of a mask or having to contain the volume with which we sing out to Jesus. We'd go for 25 or 30 minutes, and then we'd hear from someone like Andy or Alan or Harmony or Lori, whoever it was, sharing from the scriptures. And then afterwards, we'd go back and get another coffee until eventually someone, usually Alan, would jump up on a big red desk in Fleming Fulton's upper gym space and he'd heckle us all out of the building, and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 times, he'd eventually have to get us out until eventually we left. Now, when we gather on a Sunday, it just does not look like that. Some of us are still at home, on our sofas, because we don't yet feel safe to come into in-person gatherings. For some of us that have made it back into in-person gatherings, church no longer runs for 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday morning. It's maybe an hour tops. We don't turn up half an hour before and stay for half an hour after for conversation and chat. We turn up within 5 minutes to go and leave straight away afterwards. Our conversations are harder, and often we spend our time saying, "What did you say? I didn't quite get that from behind your mask. Could you repeat yourself?" And then during worship, I find myself sometimes checking my volume because I'm scared I'm singing too loud and conscious that someone might feel uncomfortable around me. Things do not look the same. And for some of us in a pre-pandemic world, whether you were with us in BCV on those Sunday services or you were elsewhere, the Sunday service was such a huge part of the glue that held our faith together. Now on the far side, things just don't feel like they're able to hold the weight that we want to put upon them. The Sundays we have together aren't giving us what we need, for lack of a better term. Or maybe for you it wasn't a Sunday service. Perhaps it was the monthly intercession and prayer gatherings. Or maybe it was weekly life groups on a Tuesday night in someone's house. Or quarterly regional gatherings with our entire church body on this island. Or a yearly or annual conference in a different church or our church. Or whatever it was, the foundations that we had put the weight for our faith upon have been shaken over this last year and a half. And for some of us, that just feels like endgame. That just feels like, how do I do faith without these things? Who even is Jesus if he's not found in a big room? What even is prayer if it's not being done in a prayer gathering? What even is worship if it's not sung in a room with 300 or 400 other people? And if you're feeling that this morning, to the extreme or even just to the slightest, know that you are not alone. I felt that. Many of us have felt some of that over the last year and a half. For most of us, the idea with a life without like unrestricted church gatherings probably wasn't conceivable 2 years ago. And I know, speaking for myself, so much of my life with Jesus, my proximity to him, was wrapped up in and heavenly dependent upon all of the things that were normal back then. And that's not all bad. Sunday gatherings, intercession evenings, regional gatherings, all those things are good. They are good, good things. But what does it mean for us in this new post-pandemic life, whenever we find ourselves flailing and feeling like we're out at sea in our faith because the pillars that held our faith strong are not there anymore? What does it mean for us? What is the antidote that we can apply to this area of faith where we sometimes feel sick in some ways? I would suggest that the answer, or at least something that leads us towards the answer, is rhythms. Now, don't tap out on me. Don't hear that word rhythms and think, oh, I've heard this one before. Rhythms are something that we have talked about plenty here in BCV, but there is a reason that we do so. You can go back and listen to sermons from Andy and Alan and many others in our leadership team from way, way before the pandemic was even a twinkling idea in our minds. And the reason we have talked about these for so long is not just because they're a nice idea, not because we just need a catchphrase or something that makes us sound like cool or hip or trendy, like we're the Rhythms Church, whatever that would look like. It's not because of that. The reason that we keep harping on about these things is because we believe that rhythms work. More than that, we believe that rhythms are an invitation from God through the scriptures for our life with Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. A good place to start whenever we're trying to work out how to do our life of faith and follow Jesus well is to understand and read the story of the Bible. And all throughout the story of the Bible that we believe helps us understand how to follow Jesus, we see people who have rhythms. So let's do a quick fire run through from Genesis until the later stages of the scriptures and see where we can find examples of rhythms. At the outset of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we meet Adam and Eve in the first three chapters. And these chapters paint a picture for us of what humanity was meant to be built like and meant to experience life as. The type of literature that Genesis 1 to 3 is always a point of discussion, but the purpose that it is written for is to give us an idea of what it means to be human. And if you aren't familiar with the passages, go ahead and read them. They're at the very start of any Bible which has the New and the Old Testament in them. Go ahead and give them a read. They aren't overly long. But in the first few chapters, we meet Adam and Eve, the people that God chooses to show us how and why and what he created humans for. And we meet this couple that God creates and gives purpose to them. And he tells them that he puts them on the earth, and by doing so is inviting them to partner with him in bringing order to the world around them. He says to them, as the NIRV puts it, "Fill the earth and bring it under your control." The point here being that God wants the humans, Adam and Eve, to work alongside him in bringing order and control to the world that they find themselves in. And the world all around them was not completely ordered and controlled. The garden that they found themselves in was, but they needed to extend that out across the rest of the world. And so God says to them, bring order to this thing that I've put you upon. Put things in place that will allow you to have control over the land that you find yourselves in. He trusts them to bring order into the chaos. And in it, God wants to build friendship with them on a daily basis. He wants them to walk with him and stay close with him. So much so that Genesis 3 talks about how God came and walked in the garden in the cool of the day. The point being that God desired to be close to his people, Adam and Eve, so much so from the start, because by design they were meant to create in the chaos alongside God in friendship with him. But if you know the story of the Bible, things don't go so well from there on out. Adam and Eve don't quite get it right, and they end up having to leave the garden and find themselves disconnected from the ability to walk with God with ease. But before we move on from these two, just keep that in mind. God's original purpose was that they would bring order to the chaos by taking control over the chaos around. And in doing so, they would walk alongside God with friendship in the process with him. Got it? Okay, fast forward in the story a bit and we meet a man called Abraham. God picks him from the pack and tells him, your descendants are going to be a great nation. The descendants come and within a few generations, we have the Israelites, the nation of Israel, God's chosen nation. And this nation becomes pretty big, pretty fast. And God gives them a bunch of rhythms and boundaries by which he says to them, if you follow these, I'll be your God and you will be my people. And Israel is this one nation in the backdrop of a bunch of other nations, and the other nations are following other gods and there's other stuff going on there, and some of the ways that they follow their gods are a bit chaotic, and you can look into that. Some of the stuff that they do and the practices they have are just a bit chaotic. And God says to his people Israel, in the midst of that setting, with the commandments and instructions that he gives them, I'm giving you rhythms and boundaries in the midst of chaos that will keep you close to me and will show the nations around you a better way of living. Order in the chaos through rhythms and boundaries that extends God's friendship to his people and out from there. Does that sound familiar? And if you go ahead and read some of the rhythms that God invites his people Israel into, you can read them in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and fair warning, those are tricky enough books to read because they're ancient texts, but if you spend some time over them, you'll begin to see that God gives these rhythms and these instructions on how to live well. For example, in Leviticus 23, God gives the nation of Israel a list of festivals that they should practice and celebrate year in and year out. The Sabbath, Passover, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Booths, and so on and so on. And all of them in Leviticus 23 start something like, and on the 15th day, in the seventh month, for these many days, do this and remember me. Rhythms and order, keeping the people grounded and close to God. But as the story goes on, once again, the same bent within them that Adam and Eve had drives them to do things their own way. It shows itself again in the nation of Israel, and they try and they fail. And they try and they fail. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes not so much. But all throughout the story, for the rest of the Old Testament, we see rhythms that have been given by God to his people, inviting them into closeness with him. Even in Jesus, we see rhythms that keep him close to God. That's God himself exercising rhythms while on earth to stay close to his Father. One of the most acute examples of this is right at the outset of Jesus's ministry in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1. Jesus has just called his disciples and he's healed a man with an unclean spirit, and he's on a roll. One of the disciples' mothers is lying in sick in bed, and Mark writes this in Mark chapter 1 verse 30. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hands and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. He heals her and word spreads. people start coming one by one, two by two, three, 10, 20. Before you know it, the whole town is gathered at the door. He heals them, casts out demons, and tells the demons where to go. Jesus is on a ministry high. He's going so hard in his ministry that the sun sets and he goes until the wee hours of the morning. Then Mark says this, Mark 1 verse 35, the next verse. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus had rhythms. He knew that even whenever everything seemed to be going and flowing well, he needed to ground himself back into proximity with his Father in heaven. He was up past sunset, working that ministry muscle, yet next morning, very early, and I mean how early is very early, early enough that the sun had not yet risen, Jesus was up, away and alone, being with God. Rhythms and order that kept him grounded and close to his Father in heaven. And that's not an isolated incident. You can see that all throughout the Gospels. There are phrases like Jesus went to be alone. Jesus left the disciples to go and pray. Rhythms that kept Jesus close to his Father in heaven. And it keeps repeating itself across the story of the Bible. Adam and Eve, the Israelites, Jesus, the disciples with Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, going up to the temple, it says that on their way up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, Peter and John going up to the temple on a regular daily basis for rhythms of prayer. Rhythms that kept them close. Then with the early church, Acts 2, it says, devoting themselves to teaching and fellowship. In Acts 2, verse 42, devoting themselves to teaching and fellowship, to breaking bread and prayers. And then in verse 47, to day by day attending the temple together. Rhythms that kept them close and grounded and near God. Even beyond the boundaries of the Bible, the church that continues off of it, both early and through to today, have been practicing rhythms as a way of grounding ourselves close and staying in intimacy with God. Be it a church calendar that a congregation follows, or temple prayer rituals from back a while back, that the congregation comes together at a certain time. Rhythms are not just BCV's nice idea. They're not just Andy's attempt at getting some sort of weird church identity. They are an invitation from God in the scriptures to put order into our lives that keeps us grounded and anchored close to him. And they've been there all throughout the story of the Bible and beyond. So they're there in the Bible, but what does that mean for me? So what? What does that have to do with me? They are there, I am here, 2,000 years on. What on earth does this have to do with me, Johnny? Well, as I've been looking through, and as I've been looking through the various things that have shifted and changed over the last 18 months, and as we talked about earlier, the pillars that held our faith together for oh so long, that stood there week in and week out, the things that were our rhythms with God, that carried the weight and glued together the foundations of our faith, they are not there in the same way any longer. They are not readily accessible to us in the same way. And I know over this last year and a half, I many times have felt like I am out at sea because those things are not there. Flailing and struggling to catch a breath in my life with Jesus because I couldn't seem to place an anchor down or stand upon a foundation in this new territory for faith. But then I decided to start listening to Andy and Alan and our leadership team as they talked about rhythms. And I decided I'm going to give this thing a shot. It took something like 50 sermons and, you know, turning up to church week in and week out to eventually hear the invitation. But finally, I decided I'd give this thing a go. And I can say from my experience that rhythms are well and truly part of the antidote to feeling like we are being washed up at sea in our life with Jesus. The point of rhythms is that we have a place we continually, no matter how battered up or bruised a day, a week or a month may get us, we have a point that we continually return to and recenter upon that is close to God himself. A place that brings order to the chaos of our lives that surround us and allows us to bring then order to the chaos of the world around us from that place. An anchor point that is not dependent upon a structure or a third party that can be stripped away, but is only and wholly dependent upon being close to God, the God that we were built to walk alongside from right back in the garden. A place we return to and a place we go out from. So what does that look like? I can imagine you're saying. Sounds good, but tell me what that even looks like. Well, I can give you my 2 cents upon it. You see, rhythms with Jesus aren't prescriptive in the way that we would love them to be. We'd love the Bible to just tell us, okay, do this, do this, do this, and you'll have a rhythm with me, and that'll be it all sorted. But that's not the way they're mapped out in the Bible. Because I think if the Bible laid out a list of do this, do this, and do this for daily rhythms, we'd either fall flat on our faces like the Israelites, or we'd end up going and doing it, feeling good about ourselves, and entirely missing the point of what a rhythm is there for. The point of placing these things in our lives, in our walk with Jesus, isn't that we tick them off on a day-to-day basis so that we can say, oh, we got God done for the day. It is simply a tool that allows us to regularly and rhythmically return close to God, like Adam and Eve walking in the garden, like Israel in the wilderness, like Jesus in solitude. The point of the walking in the garden, following the festivals, or taking himself off to pray wasn't to get it done. It was to end up close to God himself. In John 15, Jesus invites us and his disciples to abide in him as he abides in us. And as the message puts it, live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. The point of rhythms is that we would get to that place. They're a tool to bring us to the place of abiding that draws us in and close. Not a prescription that I can give you or the Bible can tell you exactly how to do that leads us into religiosity, but an invitation to take personal responsibility to create places in your life that regularly anchor you close to God. Imagine someone who's married and you are chatting to them and you ask them, oh, you know, tell me a little bit about your spouse. Tell me about the person you're married to. And then they start rhyming off all of the rhythms that they practice with their spouse throughout the week. They start talking about, you know, at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night, we go out for a date night. And, you know, on our weekends, we take 10 o'clock to 3 p.m. Every day to go out for breakfast and a walk. Or, you know, on 8 o'clock every morning, we sit down and have a seated breakfast together. And you'd kind of think they're a little bit crazy if you'd ask them to tell you about their spouse and they started talking about rhythms. Rhythms are good because in that place, intimacy can be found, but the point of them isn't that they're there. The point of them is that we would get close to the person sitting across the table from us. An intimacy with God that loses itself in a prescriptive tick box exercise is missing the point entirely. As Dallas Willard puts it, spiritual disciplines, or I think rhythms we can add in there, are wisdom and not righteousness. They're a good idea, but only when they bring us closer to Jesus. Or as Dallas says again in reference to prayer, but the principle can be applied through to rhythms as well. It would be a low voltage spiritual life in which prayer or rhythms were chiefly undertaken as a discipline, rather than as a way of co-labouring with God to accomplish good things and advance his kingdom purposes. The point of undertaking rhythms isn't to get better rhythms. It's that we get closer to Jesus. So what does that look like? Well, I can share my experiences and I'm super happy to chat through it outside of our Sunday morning online service. You can fire me an email, johnny@belfastcityvineyard.com, or find me after the service if you get me in person some week. But for me, about a year ago or kind of the start of 2021, during the first lockdown, I decided I'm going to take some responsibility for my rhythms with Jesus. I began to realize that I felt like I was washed up at sea and it wasn't just going to happen to me. My life wasn't just going to get sorted out in relation to my rhythms with Jesus in a world of not so normal church, but I actually needed to be responsible and take action towards grounding my life onto something solid again. And so I reached out to a few guys in our church and I asked for some help to work out how to even begin these things. And I remember sitting on a Zoom call with Andy Smith and chatting through with him and asking him, you know, what does this actually look like? How am I going to begin to go forward with this? And I remember saying to him, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to get up at like 5:30 in the morning every morning and I'm going to have 30 minutes of silence and I'm going to have 45 minutes of prayer and I'm going to have like an hour of reading the Bible and all this sort of stuff. And he kind of graciously listened to me and he encouraged me, you know, Johnny, give yourself grace. Start small. Start where you are. Just maybe, you know, if it doesn't go so well tomorrow morning with your 30-minute silence or whatever it is, just peel back and start where you are. And as you can imagine, 30 minutes silence is a long time at that time in the morning. And so I listened to the wisdom and began to rework and restructure what I was doing. So I got a hold of the How to Spend Time with Jesus booklet that we've talked about many, many times. I read it through once or twice and I decided upon a reading plan that I was going to use for reading the Bibles in the morning. I ended up settling on the Bible Project's reading plan, which is really helpful, just take you through the entire Bible in a year. They have really helpful videos to walk you alongside it. There's an app for it. I find that super, super helpful. And I just got up at the morning And I decided I'm going to spend a little bit of time in silence, a little bit of time reading through the scriptures, and then a little bit of time being with Jesus. And honestly, it was super short to begin with. But what I started to notice was my day-to-day knowledge and awareness of Jesus' presence began changing. Not overnight, but slowly. And surely I began to know more and more of Jesus' nearness to me on a day-to-day basis. Jesus became more real, more close, more there. And the truth is, he didn't. He was just waiting for me to take responsibility. He was always there, always close, always waiting, but I just needed to take some responsibility and build in some of the rhythms. And then those rhythms began to grow and change and move with the season of life that I found myself in. I started practicing Sabbath that we'll talk about next week. I started carving out some time to walk and reflect upon my week gone by with Jesus on a Saturday afternoon. And honestly, having a rhythm hasn't made me better at rhythms. It's just made Jesus a more regular and real and present person in my life. And I don't get it right all the time. I'm not standing here and saying I've got this thing down. Sometimes my alarm goes off late. Sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning. Sometimes I end up falling asleep on the sofa downstairs whilst trying to turn my alarm off. And honestly, leading up to preaching this morning, I felt a little bit discouraged because my last week's been a bit tougher in my rhythms with Jesus. But as God keeps reminding me, it's not about nailing the rhythm or ticking the text box. It's about coming close to him. And so when I don't get it right or it's difficult, I stop and I start again later in the day, try again in the evening, try again the next morning, even if it's been hard or hasn't quite gone to plan. Having a rhythm is not a magical power source. It isn't a catch-all answer to all the chaos that the last 18 months has caused, but it is an invitation for each of us to take responsibility, an opportunity to build into our day-to-day lives, like the beat of a drum for a music band, a place that we return to, an anchor point that we can be held firm by, that roots us and grounds us in the presence of Jesus, because that is where the answers and the real antidote is found. As John Wimber said, the father of the Vineyard movement, we do not seek God's power. We seek his presence. His power and everything else we need is always found in his presence. So, in a world of 2021 chaos, where all of the glue, foundations and anchor points for our faith have been stripped away, will you choose BCV to put order into the chaos in this week to come, in this month to come, that will ground you close to Jesus and walk alongside him on a day-to-day basis? Maybe this summer of 2021 can be like a marker point for you, like a place where you decide, I am going to take responsibility. I am going to step up and step into some rhythms, even in a small portion that are going to ground me close to Jesus. And even if I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing, I'm going to go for it. And there are resources out there to help you do this. I have some of the How to Spend Time with Jesus booklets. I have them in PDF. Send me an email. Let me know if you want to get a hold of them. I can send them out to you. They've been so helpful for me as I've began to carve out some daily rhythms with Jesus. And maybe it's as simple as starting where you are. You know, 10 minutes in your morning, your afternoon, or your evening, before work, during lunch break, when the kids go to sleep, or when you have some spare time in your day by day. Just start where you are. Create some space. Spend a daily, committed time with Jesus, following the booklet, whatever works for you, and building that in as a rhythm. So, BCV, will you choose to take responsibility and build rhythms in a world where the pillars of our faith have been upended and taken away? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we're just going to see what God wants to do. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I feel like for some of us, and I kind of sensed this before we came on this morning, that for some of us, today is going to be a marker moment. It's going to be an opportunity to kind of put a flag in the sand and like draw the line and step over into a new season where we take responsibility and we own the rhythms that are going to be applied into our day-to-day life with Jesus. And I felt like for some of us, that actually needs us to take an action, and we need to maybe, you know, reach out to someone in our community if we're watching this later on, or if you're watching live with us this morning, put a comment in the comment section, just say like, this is it. I am taking responsibility, and almost using this morning or whenever you happen to be watching this as like I am putting my marker down. This is what I'm going for. I'm making my mark and saying to the people around me, I am going for this. And so if that's you, can I just invite you, like, put a comment in the comment section, message someone from within our community, send an email to Pastoral at Belfast City Vineyard, or Johnny or Andy or Alan or Laurie or whoever it is at BelfastCityVineyard.com, and just let someone know that this is where you are starting off. And for some of us, I feel like God reminded me that some of us have tried this before. And some of us feel discouraged because it feels like it hasn't worked, or we've struggled, or we've kind of just given up over the last little while. And this morning is an invitation for you to also put a marker down and step over. And so if you feel like you're wanting to do this for the first time, or you want to re-engage with this, can I invite you to use this as an opportunity to just make that marker, put it out there, let someone know, put a comment in the comments section, that this is your moment to move forward into this. I also had a sense as I was preparing that for some of us, we need someone to do this alongside us. In many ways, we need to do this in community. We have to do this alongside other people. And for some of us, we can use this as an opportunity to reach out to someone and say, listen, I need some help. I need someone that's maybe further along the journey, you know, a decade along or 5 years along, someone within our community or outside of it who knows and has a rhythm with Jesus that they've built in to their day-to-day life. And maybe this is an opportunity to just like reach out to that person, to be brave, send a text, give them a call and say, I need some help here. Can you hold me accountable? Can we journey this thing together? I had to do that and it is so, so helpful to me. So if that's you this morning, I just bless you in Jesus' name to go and take responsibility, to reach out, to ask someone, to have the courage to do that. And Father, we just ask for the people that want to use this as a marker moment, that this would be a day, the 25th of July, that they look back upon in 2021 and say, that's whenever I began to take responsibility. That's whenever I was like stepping in to the rhythms and beginning to walk closer to God. That was the moment. So come, Holy Spirit, bless the people that want to take responsibility. Bless the people that want to reach out and find support and have someone walk this journey along with them. And I pray that you would provide whatever people need, whatever we need to be able to walk forward in our rhythms with you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.